Now, Saturday Night Theatre.
Generations by Mervyn Jones. With Anthony Hall as Daniel, Douglas Blackwell as Idris, Elizabeth Morgan as Morvis, Catherine Hulbert as Laura, and Elaine Claxton as Penny. 1984.
Oh, is that you, Dad?
Biz.
Come in. The door's open. I can't get up. I'm feeding him.
Well, my dear. Oh, glad to see you're going in for breastfeeding. It was out of fashion when you were an infant. The doctrine changes with each generation, I suppose.
It's convenient, it's free, and you don't have to go out to the shop.
Quite so. Yes. He seems to be applying himself to it energetically.
Oh, yes, he's a good sucker, whatever else.
So I'm a grandfather. It'll take me a little time to get used to it.
Don't let the students know.
Oh, it wouldn't matter. Youthful professors in jeans and sweaters are also a discarded fashion. Your mother sends her love. She's not back from Italy yet, but I phoned her the other day.
She's not going to like being a grandmother, is she?
She loves you, Penny. We both love you. That can't change, whatever your misadventure.
I don't regard him as a misadventure.
No, of course not. No, put the phrase in quotes. You mustn't be so prickly now. You're a mother. Have you seen Chris?
No.
You haven't been to see the baby?
No.
Well, I should have thought he'd take some slight interest.
We split up months ago, you know that. In any case, it was my decision to go ahead and have the baby, so it's my responsibility.
All the same, you...
Dad! Chris can't do anything for us except live with us, and that's out. He's unemployed, the same as I am, so that's it.
You intend to be 100% fully qualified single parent?
Absolutely. Courtesy of the DHSS.
Have you decided on a name for him? That's also your sole responsibility.
Yes. I'm calling him Idris.
After my father? Are you really?
This came into my mind. I like unusual names. Why? Are you hoping I'd call him Daniel?
No, if you'd given him my name, I'd have been really astonished. Well, I hope the old man will be pleased. I'll let him know. Although, Penny, it's occurred to you that little Idris is, in the phraseology that we use by old Idris, illegitimate.
As a historian, you'll be aware that kids born out of wedlock weren't exactly unknown in the Welsh Valleys in the 1930s.
I'll point that out if necessary.
Right. That's your lot, Idris. I'll put him down and make you some coffee, Dad.
Let's have a look at him. Oh, he doesn't seem to like my face.
No, I think you're the first man he's seen. The doctor was a woman. I expect you'll have a preference for female company. Runs in the family. Come on, belt up. He's not a monster, just a bourgeois intellectual. Belt up, Idris. You've had your lunch. What the hell do you want? The dessert trolley? I'm putting you in your cot. You've just got to act.
Penny, let me say something. No, don't take it the wrong way. I'm not concerned about your bringing him up alone. I'm sure you'll care for him admirably. But I am rather concerned about your living in a basement flat.
Garden flat?
Yeah, I realize that's the accepted euphemism, but as the house was built, this is the basement. You don't get any sun in here, that's the point.
I'll take him in the park. I don't mind this pad, you know, the scene of my amours. Anyway, I'm lucky to have a flat at all.
I happen to know of a flat that would suit you. It's the top floor of a house belonging to one of my colleagues. I had a student from Nigeria who was just leaving. It's got a balcony. It's virtually a sun terrace.
What's the rent?
Well, I dare say it would be rather more than you're paying now, but...
I told you before, Dad. I'm not taking any money from you in any shape or form.
It's for the sake of the child, Penny.
You'll have to hack it like the rest of us. It was nice of you to come round, Dad.
1938.
Idris?
Yes, darling?
He won't take the breast.
Oh, won't he? Oh, maybe he's not hungry yet. He's not one day old. Sleep he needs more than anything.
You're not to worry now. That's important. You know you're worrying. They can feel it. That's what my mom used to say, and she brought up six.
Oh. Do you want us to have a big family, Drift?
No. Oh, it all depends. If I don't find work, it'll be hard going with one.
Have you thought any more about the name, Morris?
I have. I thought of it days ago, but I didn't say anything till I knew it was a boy.
Why, you always said it would be a boy.
And you always said I was silly. I couldn't know.
What's the name, then?
Daniel. How'd you like it?
Daniel. Yeah, you'll do nicely. There never has been a Daniel in our family, nor yours, has there?
No.
How did you come by it?
Well, it's Daniel in the Bible.
Oh, I see.
For all the children of Judah, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Oh, that's what I wish for him, Idris. Understanding in all visions and dreams.
Aye, visions and dreams we'll need. And a way of making them come true if we are to put this daft old world right in our time or in our children's time. Daniel it is, then. Who were the children of Judah? That was his family?
Oh, yes, yes. Daniel and his brothers. Four there were.
I knew you wanted a big family. Four boys, heaven help us.
God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom.
Well, let's hope God gives it to them. They won't get it from me.
Oh, well, you might have had learning if you hadn't had to go down the pit the first chance you had.
I wish I was down the pit now, being in a man's wage anyway. Oh, it hurts me every day. Look at it. Still that winding gear all still and useless and going rusty. I don't know if he'll ever see that pit working again. I never thought it could close till the day it happened. My father never dreamed it could close. He worked in it 30 years.
He worked in it till it killed him?
It was the profit system that killed him. He was cutting corners and neglecting safety to get the coal out fast so long as they could sell it. These pits could be productive and safe, too, if the workers had the running of them. I wonder if we'll ever see the day.
I hope little Daniel never has to go down the pit.
Daniel? Not a chance with the name you've chosen for him. What is it? Knowledge and skill
in all learning and wisdom.
That'll keep him out of the pit, sure enough.
1980.
Dad, when was it exactly they closed the pit where Grandad worked?
What's this about, Penny? Why do you want to know?
It's a project I'm doing. Social and economic change in old industrial areas.
Oh, I see. Well, do you mean when was it closed during the Depression or when was it closed for good?
When was it closed for good?
Well, that'd be 65. I'm fairly certain because my father was 50. As he called it, his birthday present. 1965. The assumption by the experts was an unlimited flow of cheap oil from the Middle East. Little did they know.
Little do they ever know.
Oh, keep an eye on that youthful cynicism, Penny. Economic forecasting's a difficult business.
If you'd gone down the pit, you'd have been a redundant miner at the age of...
27. Yes. Naturally, I'd have found other work. The other assumption was that full employment was a built-in characteristic of the economy. All right, all right. Little did they know.
Anyway, you were tasting the delights of the affluent society. That's what they called it in 1965, didn't they?
I didn't feel very affluent myself with a junior lecturer's salary and a young daughter and a young mortgage.
Yeah, at least you'd escaped from the working class.
I was expelled from the working class by my loving mother. My childhood was spent in an atmosphere of merciless encouragement. Every time I faced an exam, she threatened me with the dreaded alternative of going down the pit. Meanwhile, my father was down the pit and trying to stay there. It was most bewildering.
I suppose it was because you were the only son, the only chance.
Yes, the intensity might have been somewhat less if she'd had other children, but she didn't.
Did you mind being an only child?
Do you mind being an only child?
I don't think so. Maybe I feel, same as you did, I don't dare to be a disappointment. Do you want me to become a professor, Dad?
Oh, no, no, that's too easy. I shall expect you to become the first woman to command a nuclear submarine.
I'm doing sociology.
So you are, yes, a conventional feminine occupation, like writing novels.
I must get on with my project.
If you wish, don't accuse me of encouraging you.
1957.
Hello, Ma'am.
And here...
Hello there, Daniel boy. Good to see you. Oh, Merry Christmas, if it is a day late. Well, we didn't expect you yet. You must have taken an early train. Your mum's gone to take some of her mince pies to old Mrs. Morgan. She's all alone now, you know. She'll be back directly.
Yeah, I did take an early train. I can't get out the habit of getting up at six. I've been out at the crack of dawn every day this week, right up to yesterday, delivering loads of Christmas cards that people don't even want. Still, it brings in the money. All helps to eke out the grant. Yeah. Well, how are you, Da?
Oh, mustn't grumble. I had a nasty touch of the flu, as I said in my letter. 3 days off work. But it's cleared up nicely. Your mum will be happy to see you. Oh, she's been counting the days. Yes, quiet in the old house, just the two of us. But she was always sure you'd get that scholarship. God gave you learning and wisdom, didn't he?
And understanding of visions and dreams.
That's it. You've not forgotten. Well, we mustn't scoff at her Bible reading, Daniel. It means a lot to her. And how's the college now you're there? You've not told us much about it.
No, I'm sorry. I keep meaning to write you a long letter, but I never find the time. Well, it's pretty lively. I joined the Socialist Society, of course, movement for colonial freedom. And I speak in debates in the Union.
I see.
Mind you, most of the professors are horribly reactionaries, but the students are great. Well, yeah. Well, some of them. It's an amazing mixed bunch. You know, there's Indians, Africans, Arabs, Hong Kong, Chinese, you name it.
And both sexes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's a bit of a change from the boys' high. I sit next to an Indian girl in my seminar. She's so beautiful, it's unbelievable. No, don't get the wrong idea, no. I'm just broadening my mind with an appreciation of other cultures.
That's what you tell her when you're walking out, is it?
Oh, we're not walking out, Dad. It isn't the valley.
Oh, here's your mum now.
Bach, when did you get here? Oh, I'm sorry I was out, but never mind, you're in good time for dinner. Well, give your old man a big kiss then. That's it. It's going to seem strange eating the turkey on Boxing Day, whatever, but it would have been stranger eating it without you. Of course, we waited.
I hope you didn't starve yesterday.
No.
We had a nice bit of lamb just to stretch the stomach, as they say. Thank God we can treat ourselves when we like. Not like the bad old days. I'll turn up the oven now, yeah. It won't take long. Hey, have a mince pie while you're waiting. You must be famished. You must have had your breakfast at the crack of dawn.
No, I'm all right. I had an enormous curry last night. I haven't got over it yet.
He's eating his way into Indian culture, Mother.
I don't know what that means, I'm sure. Oh, let me look at you, Ramachini. I've got no colour, boy. No colour at all. I don't think you're eating properly. You can say what you like. We need to feed you up while you're at home.
Oh, I'm eating enough, really, I am. It's just the indoor life, you know. It's classes all day, or library work, and then meetings, and I go back to my digs on the tube. I keep meaning to go for a long country walk, the way I used to here, but, well, you have to travel out to the edge of London. I never have the time.
Yes, well, you must work, I know that. You've got exams to pass, and just because you've done well so far, you mustn't let up. Did you get good results at the end of the term?
No, there aren't any exams at the end of term, ma'am. It's just at the end of the year.
Oh, is that how it is? Well, don't you forget about them then, even if it does seem a long way off.
Now, don't pitch into him like that, Morbid. He hasn't had time to turn round yet. This is Christmas, remember, the time of rest.
I'm not pitching into him. I'm showing an interest. Mm. Look, would you rather I didn't care? Would you, Daniel?
There's not much risk of that with you, is there?
I hope not indeed. No. You know, I look at the boys in our village, off to work every day, then off to the pub every night, or maybe kicking a ball around or standing on the corner and whistling at the girls and never reading a word but the sports page in the Daily Express. And I think what they might have made of themselves if only they'd had the chance. And then I thank God our own boy does have the chance. And I want to be sure he takes it with both hands.
Oh, a proper selfish, individualistic point of view, if ever I heard one. They don't have the chance because they're human sacrifices to the necessities of wage slavery. One day we'll see a better world, and the way will be open for every man to develop to his full potential.
And every woman, let's hope.
Oh, of course. I say every man in the inclusive sense of humanity. That's understood.
Well, we're still waiting for that better world, aren't we? I thought it was all going to be different when the pits belonged to the nation.
The coal board's better than the old owners, isn't it? It was a step forward. but it's no substitute for a fundamental reconstruction of society.
Well, that's a long time coming, too.
We'll look to Daniel for it. He's not getting his fine education just to make a grand career. He's getting it to make his contribution to that better future. Isn't that right, boy?
That's right, Da. Hooray! The people's flag is deepest red. It's shouted off the march again. And yeah, their limbs grow stiff and cold. Their hearts are dying.
Order!
Let's have a bit of order. We'll never get anywhere if you all talk at once. Danny Jones, I'm going to be short and to the point. This will be the third Aldermaster March. We've tramped along year after year. We've listened to speeches from our beloved leaders in Trafalgar Square, and then we've gone home like good law-abiding citizens. And where's it got us? There are more nuclear weapons in the world than there were when we started.
Right.
We're not making a protest. We're engaged in a ritual. Now, this proposal I'm supporting is for a real protest. We wind up at Grosvenor Square instead of the doors of the American Embassy. Remember, the bloody bombs don't make themselves. They're not made by Lord Nelson's ghost. They're made by the warmongers of the Pentagon.
And
the Soviet state bureaucracy, true enough, but the nuclear bases on our soil are American. So they're the ones we've got to get rid of.
What do we do when we get to Grosvenor Square?
I'll tell you what we do. We hammer at those doors until we smash them.
Signed off by CND.
No, we haven't had the order from our respected elders. Some people can't tie their shoelaces till they got orders.
There's no need to be personal.
I never speak personally. The remark's made in a general sense. I make this proposal on political grounds. If the leadership we're given is inadequate, we've got to act on our own initiative. That's all I wish to say. I move that we support the radical demonstration at Grosvenor Square.
Thank you, Danny. Danny's spoken briefly. That's an excellent example.
We've got to be out of this room at 2 o'clock. It's needed for a lecture. Arnold Westwood.
Mr. Chairman, what we've just heard is a familiar, not to say tiresome, brand of mindless militancy. The Aldermaston March has grown bigger year by year, and it's grown bigger by being united. The proposal before you is to destroy that unity. Our friend Danny claims to be supporting it on political grounds. If we're talking about serious politics rather than frivolous flag-waving, the only way to get rid of nuclear weapons is to elect a Labour government. Hugh Gaitskell happens to be the democratically elected leader of the Labour Party. Some of us believe in democracy, you know. Of course, some of our friends are only interested in fighting the police and demonstrating their virility.
Well, have you got any to demonstrate?
I say some people are only interested in posing as heroes.
It's no need to be personal.
And I advise you not to be swept off your feet by pseudo-revolutionary romanticism. I hope there's still a place at this university for logical thought.
I move that we take a vote.
It's been proposed that we take an immediate vote. Is that the sense of the meeting? All right, then. Those in favour of the motion by Danny Jones that we demonstrate in Grosvenor Square. Those against? I declare the motion overwhelmingly carried. The meeting is closed.
Excuse me.
Well?
I just wanted to say how much I liked your speech.
Well, it had the merit of brevity. Of course, some of our friends are only interested in posing as orators and demonstrating their loquacity.
Oh, whoever is he? He really is a horror.
Oh, I'm surprised you haven't seen him around.
Oh, I don't go to meetings much. I came with a friend.
Am I right in thinking that you have green eyes? Or is it an effect of the inadequate and curious lighting in this institution?
No, I do have green eyes. Sort of green.
And high cheekbones. You have a name, doubtless?
Laura Oakley.
As in Oakley Square?
Right.
Hmm. Must be nice having your own square. I don't imagine they'll ever set up a Jones Square.
You never know. They might rename Grosvenor Square in your honour after the revolution.
Well, well. Green eyes, high cheekbones, and clever with it. Where have you been hiding?
Oh, I'm not hiding from you. I haven't been round all that long. I'm in my first year.
Oh, I'm coming up for finals, alas. what you hope to learn here, if anything.
I'm doing English. I think I might switch to history, though. I mean, you can always read novels and poetry in your own time. I'm awfully ignorant about, the state of the world and how it got to be the way it is. History's your subject, isn't it, Danny?
It is. You know, Laura, changing your subject's a grave decision. Your entire future may be in the melting pot. It requires serious discussion, well away from these crowded surroundings, in some quiet place where we should be free from disturbance or intrusion. What are you doing Saturday night?
I'm free.
I invite you to eat the cheapest curry in the Western world.
Where do we meet?
Warren Street 2, 8 o'clock.
See you, Danny.
See you, Green Eyes.
Sorry to say I don't think I can make it in the Easter vacation after all. I'll be going on the Aldermaston march, of course, and then simply must stay in London and work for finals. Missing you and missing our native land, but can't be helped. In haste, Daniel.
Oh, dear. Didn't come at Christmas either. Been a long time, is it?
He does have to work. It's the final exam for his degree. It's vital.
Mm, he used to bring his books and work here. I've never disturbed him. He used to say he worked well, yeah?
No, that's true. So he did.
No, there must be something else.
Think so?
Oh, Idris. You were young, too. You can't have forgotten.
I wonder if she's Indian or Chinese. They've got all sorts there.
Well, I don't mind who she is, so long as she lets him work. And if he doesn't get her first class, I want to know why.
Danny?
Oh?
You're going to sleep.
No, merely recuperating, renewing the energy.
It was lovely.
I'll go so far as to say that it was memorable.
Do you always talk in four-syllable words?
Four or more. An inclination inculcated by both heredity and environment. My father is your typical Welsh autodidact.
What?
Auto, self, didact, taught. Left school at 13, read Tawny at 15. The valleys are swarming with them. Being on the dole in the 30s must have helped, too.
Is he a minor?
Yes, he's a minor.
Oh, I'd like to meet your father.
Well, you've taken the first step in that direction, although we haven't discussed whether this is to be a durable association or a transient experience.
I don't do this with just anybody, Danny.
I'm sure you don't. Only with pseudo-revolutionary romantics.
Who can demonstrate their virility.
Yeah, I thought you might imagine that my abilities were purely verbal.
No, I don't think I would have imagined that. It's nice talking, though, isn't it?
It occupies the unavoidable intervals. Mm. Do you know, in the course of the recent memorable events, your eyes underwent a fascinating change? The green acquired a certain ambiguity. Two quarters, perhaps. Mm. Has anybody pointed that out to you?
No, nobody has. I don't sleep with a lot of men. I really don't. Have you got a cig, Danny?
You smoke in bed. It's a bad habit. Our incandescent passion might end in mutual incineration.
You smoke a lot. You know you do. You always smoke when you talk, and that's most of the time.
Well, I'm out, I'm afraid. I meant to get some more in the pub, and my thoughts were diverted to other priorities. Unfortunate. I'm afraid I'd like a smoke, too. There's a machine outside the station.
I'll go.
I think I should undertake that mission.
Why? Just because you're a man? I'm surprised at you, Danny. No, I'm the one who brought it up. I'll go.
You are a remarkable and most admirable person, Laura.
You are a remarkable and most admirable person, Danny. But we must always remember to have cigarettes.
We must. Laura?
Yes?
Don't talk to anybody. Don't pause to contemplate the moon. Don't get knocked down by an overnight lorry. Don't get kidnapped. Don't accept a lift to Penzance or Aberdeen. Bear in mind that your absence is a source of insupportable deprivation. Come back soon.
I'll run both ways.
H-bomb house! H-bomb house! H-bomb house! Yankee bases!
House!
Yankee bases!
House!
Yankee bases!
House!
House!
Out! 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 Out!
It's over now, darling. That's all we've got to think about. It's over. It's so awful. And I saw them dragging you off like that and twisting your arm. And then he disappeared into the van and he banged the door. I thought I would have died. Was it horrible being arrested, Danny?
It was insufferably tedious all afternoon and all night in the cell. Nothing to read, nobody to talk to, nothing to look at. I've never been so bored in my life.
Well, imagine being in prison for weeks.
Or months or years. The imagination recoils. From now on, you can put me down as a supporter of flogging or mutilation as a more humane punishment than imprisonment.
Don't talk like that, Danny. Not even as a joke.
No, all right. I was prepared to go to prison. Tell me, Laura, did you pay my fine?
Yes.
I see.
Look, I know what you're going to say. It was agreed that nobody would pay the fines. You'd refuse to contribute towards nuclear armaments. You'd all go to prison. I sabotaged a democratic decision for no reason at all except that I'm in love with you. It was irresponsible and emotional and selfish. Are you very angry with me?
No.
Yes, you are. Why don't you say so? It's no good if we can't speak frankly to each other.
I am speaking frankly to you. I'd been dodging the cops, doing my best not to get arrested. I was scared stiff of going to jail. Not just because it'd be so bloody awful, though I did think of that, but because I can't afford to miss a day of work. I'm pretty badly behind. I've been going to meetings and so forth instead of working. I've absolutely got to get a first. I owe it to my parents, that's one thing, and I want it, Laura. I want it because I hate to be second best. I want the tops. I can't help it. So when I realized I wouldn't have to go to jail, I felt nothing but relief. I'm not a hero, Laura. If you ever thought I was, just forget it. I don't mind posing as a hero. I like the cheers. I can spill out the rhetoric. But it's all show. It's all pretense and self-indulgence. If I didn't know that before, I know it now. And you better know it.
Oh, I think I knew.
You? Did you really know?
I don't want a hero, Danny.
Have you got a cig?
Yes, I remembered. I got two packets this morning.
I'll pay you back. I'm a bit short at the moment. I'll pay you back for the fine, of course.
Oh, so, I don't want you to do that. Call it a contribution to the cause.
It's a contribution to my first, that's all it is. I'll pay you back, Laura.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it's only 10 quid. I won't miss it.
You won't miss the odd 10 quid.
Well, actually, it's very sordid talking about money like this, isn't it?
Flora, you remember the first time you told me your name and I said Oakley, like Oakley Square? Was the square actually called after a member of your family?
Sort of. That is, they gave it the name. They built it.
They built it? They put all those bricks one on top of the other. That's quite an achievement for one family. The kids help?
Oh, you know what I mean.
Yes, quite so. I can see where the Oakleys aren't short of the odd 10 quid.
Oh, right. They're in property. They've been in property since Victorian times, and they still are. The source of my cigarettes is tainted. I'm sorry about it. We can't all have fathers or Welsh minors.
Have you told your father that your boyfriend's a minor son?
Oh, honestly, Danny, all that class business is a bit irrelevant in 1960, isn't it? You can meet my father if you like. He isn't a monster. You'll just find him rather boring. He won't understand most of your long words.
Yes, he left school at 13, I dare say.
Oh, Danny, just because we come from different backgrounds, you don't have to be horrid about my family. I am me and you are you. Isn't that enough?
I'm sorry. Things have been rather harassing lately.
I know, darling. Let's go to the pub. Just be opening. We'll drink to your freedom.
Yeah, put it on the slate, mind.
1962.
Well, Morris, I should say our best policy would be to put ourselves in the hands of the experts. What shall we have, Dad?
Oh, Laura's the real expert, Dad. Oh. What do you think? How about a chicken masala?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps your parents would rather not have anything too hot.
Oh, no. We must have the real thing now we're here. In for a penny, in for a rupee, isn't it?
Well, I think chicken would be nice anyway. You can't go wrong with chicken.
We'll have a mixture, and you can see what you like. Now then, we'll have a chicken masala, please, and a mutton curry, and prawns biryani, and a vegetable curry. And rice. for four, and chapatis. Oh, and dal, and mango chutney. Yes, that's about it, Harry.
Poppadoms.
Oh, yeah, poppadoms, yeah. Will you have some beer, Dad? It's supposed to go with Indian food.
No, there's a subject in which I can have an opinion. What sort of beer is available?
They've got quite a nice lager. I can recommend it.
Hmm. Well, I'm not a lager man habitually, but I'll be guided by you, my dear. And a lemonade or something like that for Mother?
Yes. Three lagers and one nimble pony. Well, Dad, what's your plan?
No.
I'd like you to show you the department, Dad. In fact, you can sit in on a lecture if you like. I feel I ought to convince you that I really am a lecturer. Oh, thank you. What should we drink to? I know. Our visions and dreams, and may they come true.
Our visions and dreams. And dreams.
Well, not a bad drop of lager, as lager goes. I'll make a note of the name. Maybe it'll go down well in the club. There's a lot of lager drunk in Wales these days.
Oh, I'm longing to go to Wales, Mr. Jones. Daddy keeps promising to take me, but there's always some reason why we can't get away. Maybe in the summer. I'll deserve a good holiday. I'm taking my finals this year.
I thought we were going to Greece, darling.
Oh, no, I don't want to go to Greece again. I've been twice with my parents, you see. I mean, when you've seen it, you've seen it. No, I'm going to Wales. I shall insist on it.
Well, that settles it. When Laura makes her mind up, she gets away, let me tell you.
Quite right, too. Us women, we've got to stand up for ourselves. Oh, or we get trampled underfoot. And don't you let Daniel tell you what to do and where to go, my dear.
I shan't, I assure you.
I wanted to show you this, Dad.
Just a minute. Where are my specs? Oh, must be my coat if I didn't leave them at the hotel.
Oh, I'll get them.
Oh. Thank you, Laura. That's kind of you. Now, let's see. The Journal of Historical Studies.
No.
Ah, this must be what you're showing me, is it? The Political Structure of an Italian Despotism by Daniel Jones. Well, this is splendid. Splendid.
You've got to publish if you want to get anywhere, you see.
I'd like to read it thoroughly. Can I buy it somewhere?
No, that's for you. I get 6 free copies. You can read it in the train.
I'm proud of you, Daniel. I hope this is the first of many.
You started writing a book, Mr. Jones.
No, we're not going to talk about that. It's very much in the embryonic stage, and they never come to anything.
Put it away for now, Richard.
Yeah, right.
Give it to you. I'll put it in my bag. It'll be safe there. Oh, look. Here's the food coming.
Oh, is this the chicken? I'll try some of that to start with. Oh, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, what a discovery. Mm-hmm. Have some of the chicken already. Yes.
It's good, isn't it? You know, Dad, considered historically, this food is the most durable legacy of British rule in India.
Well, it's a wicked thought, but it almost justifies imperialism.
Then you're not going to work all night, are you? To talk to you.
Oh, I must get this paper done. It's due in on Monday. Never mind. I can't finish it tonight anyway. I'll work on it at the weekend.
You used to never stop talking. Now I have to break the silence.
In the tentative stages of our relationship, I felt it necessary to entertain you.
Whereas you can now take me for granted.
Well, at least you couldn't disappear without a considerable process of packing. Do you want to talk to me as a general activity or about something specific?
Something specific, actually.
I know that look. You want something.
Yes, I want something.
My darling, I adore you. Your every wish is open to discussion.
Danny, I want you to marry me.
Really? Is this a surrender to the requirements of conventional morality?
Oh, I knew you'd say something like that. People do get married, you know. Even some of our friends, people who think like us.
Yes, it's interesting that the institution, though largely deprived of its religious sanction, shows little sign of losing its popularity.
No, it wouldn't make any difference, I mean, to us. I'm just getting rather bored with pretending we aren't living together when we see my parents.
and your parents.
I doubt if the pretense is convincing. It's a tacitly observed convention.
It's hypocritical, in other words.
When we live in a society whose basic assumptions we don't accept, a certain level of hypocrisy is inevitable.
You wouldn't have said that 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I used to shock you by my rebellious idealism. Now, I shock you by my realism.
No, you don't shock me. I know you better than that. The point is, if we were married, this particular piece of hypocrisy wouldn't be necessary.
Oh, that's undeniably true. How long have you been thinking about this, darling?
Since we were in Wales, probably. Something about seeing your parents together. I mean, their marriage isn't just living in the same house. It's a real value. I hated this nonsense about you sleeping on the couch and tiptoeing upstairs in the middle of the night.
Oh, I thought the requirements of secrecy added a touch of novelty to the customary activity. I thought it was rather amusing.
Well, I didn't. But if you do want to know why I'm thinking about this, there's a much more important reason.
Which is?
I'd like to have a child. Your child.
Oh, the revelations are coming thick and fast. You haven't started it by any chance, have you?
No, I haven't. I assume that any child of yours could only be the result of discussion.
Discussion followed by agreement, naturally.
You must have your agreement. You don't seem very enthusiastic.
Well, give me time to adjust. It doesn't seem long since I was being arrested in Grosvenor Square. Now I'm a salaried professional, a cog in the academic machine. I have a contract with a publisher. I pay income tax. And you propose to make me the head of a family. The responsibilities are daunting. It's farewell to youth.
I'm not sure that youth ever suited you very much.
You may be right. I better have my hair cut, acquire a pair of spectacles.
Don't forget it's the same for me. I'm proposing to be a mother.
Yes, there is that aspect to the matter. Laura, seriously, what about your job?
My dazzling career. I might in time progress from keeping the list of overdue books to having a key of the fines box. Beginning to pull already. A child would be much more interesting.
I wonder where we could keep him. Possibly between the record player and the bookcase, if we don't acquire any more books. Under the bed might be bad for his psychological development. Don't they? You may not have taken this into account. Don't they crawl at a certain point?
Oh, we'd have to move. In fact, we'll have to think about it before long. I don't fancy lumbering up 4 flights of stairs during my pregnancy. We ought to get a house.
A house! A mortgage, the suburbs, a season ticket. Farewell, farewell to you.
Are you worried about the money?
I will be soon. Soon and for the indefinite future. Our savings amount to... Let me look in my wallet. No, nothing in my wallet. Well, I've got 8 and 6 pence. I was keeping it for beer and fags, but of course we'll have to dispense with such luxuries. Anything in your bag, darling?
We can borrow money. Everybody does. I'll talk to Daddy.
No, you won't. Laura, I'm serious about this. I don't intend to be helped by your family.
Oh, that's ridiculous. It's there, isn't it? We might as well have a bit of the loot. They don't need it. We do need it. Call it redistribution. I thought you believed in redistribution.
I don't believe in begging.
Oh, what is this? A Welsh nonconformist conscience.
It's not a bad brand of conscience as consciences go. Oh. Look, can you see the position you're putting me in? Oh, Mr. Oakley, if I may have your attention for a few minutes. I'm going to marry your daughter, and we thought it'd be rather nice to have children. I'm afraid they're not coming particularly cheap this year. Prices keep going up, as you may have noticed. So I'd be obliged if you'd just get out your checkbook. Thanks so much. I'll fill in the notes. I'll see you get a receipt.
Oh, Danny, I said I'll talk to him.
You think I'd make a balls of it? You're probably right.
I never knew you could be so proud. It's not begging, darling. Honestly, he wouldn't see it as charity. He'd see it as an investment in the future.
Oh, yes, that's one thing he knows about, investment. Mind you put the accent on the future. I'm going to be Regius Professor, aren't I? A member of a couple of royal commissions, governor of the BBC, possibly a magistrate in my spare time. Or shall I leave that to you? Anyway, I hope I'll give your father cause to approve me.
I'm not talking about your future. I'm sure you can take care of that without assistance. I mean an investment in the future of our child. But you don't actually want a child, do you? Likewise, you don't want us to get married. We'd better forget the whole thing.
No. I think it's a pretty good program, really. I've never been proposed to before, that's all. A certain degree of modest hesitation is only natural.
What do you want, Danny?
I want to love you all my life and be married in the eyes of God, the law, and majority opinion, and have as many children as you shall decide, and buy a house with 2 bathrooms and central heating and a bell that tinkles. And do it on the fruits of my work and my talents. Is that all right?
Yes. Very much all right.
I knew we'd reach agreement. By the way, you wouldn't object too strongly if conception were to precede marriage. It's quite conventional.
No, I shouldn't object to that at all.
Well, let's make a start then, shall we?
Let's make a start.
1965.
It's a blow, Daniel. I won't deny it's a blow. I can't expect to find another job, not with hundreds looking. My age is against me. Age? I've never thought about my age. I've just gone on from year to year and reckon to go on till I'm old. And I'm not old. I won't let them say I'm old. 50's not old, is it?
Of course not, Dar. You've got years and years ahead of you.
Aye. Years and years of sitting by the fireside and walking slowly down the street to make the time pass and growing soft and feeble. Put your hand here, Daniel. That's it, on my arm. Feel the muscles? They're not the muscles of a useless old man, are they?
Oh, indeed, what I... I only wish I had muscles like that.
Ah, well, your muscles are in your head. You know, Daniel, if I'd had your education, I'd like to sit down and write the history of this valley. It's a long story, and a grim story mostly, but a proud story too. 30 pits there were at the peak. That would be before 1914. All working flat out and coal trains chasing each other down to Cardiff docks. But always a bitter fight for a living wage, mind. It's all in the records. You'd be surprised what there is in the old lodge minute books.
Why don't you write it, Dad? You've got the knowledge. You never had trouble finding the words you want.
Oh, I don't know. I've too much respect for historians to match myself with them in their craft. I'd be an amateur. But I've seen a good bit of it. I've seen the pits closed and the winding gear idle 3 times over. First was the long strike. I was 9 years old at the time. But I remember it like yesterday. And then the big shutdown in the Depression. And now the pit has closed for good. No demand for coal, that's what they say. Oh, it was the iron law of supply and demand that closed the pits in the 30s, and it's the same law that's closing them now. It's the subjection of humanity to mathematics.
The subjection of humanity to mathematics, and you say you couldn't write.
You know what they'd say if I wrote that down. Old-fashioned sentimentality. We had a protest march through the valley when the closure notices went up. Maybe half the miners turned out, men of my generation. But the young ones were down at the speedway track or smartening themselves up for the disco. The cynicism has bitten deep, that's the truth. What can you expect? It's not the Tories are closing the pits and buying oil from the Gulf. It's a Labour government. That's what hurts most when I remember how you worked to put them in.
I don't think it was Labour policy to repeal the law of supply and demand.
It never will be with the type of leaders we have. Oh, well, that's enough of these gloomy reflections. I don't want to be a bore to my own son. How's your book selling?
Oh, quite nicely. Of course, you don't expect big sales in the academic field. That's not what it's about. But it'll be read by the readers it's meant for. The reviews are very favourable.
Oh, were they? Oh, I'd like to see them. Did you bring them?
No, Laura said I ought to, but I didn't have sufficient vanity. I can send you some photocopies when I get back.
Yeah, good. Don't forget now. You know, that little girl of yours is as bright as a button. It's a joy to have her here.
Yes, I think she's inherited your intelligence. It often skips a generation.
Ah, she's inherited her mother's looks, whatever.
Yes. Dad, were you surprised when I married Laura?
There's a question, though. Do you want an honest answer or a polite one?
Why do you think I asked?
From the moment you waved goodbye to us out of the train to Paddington, you were travelling away from us. You're still travelling. You'll travel farther yet. How far, I don't know, but you can't stop. It's inevitable. We intended it. It may bring us loss as it brings you gain. It may bring you loss in some ways, but the world is a place of choices. So, to come back to your question, it would have been surprising if you'd taken the train back from Paddington to find the girl to marry, wouldn't it?
Yes, I suppose so.
Laura's a charming girl. We know she doesn't mean all the nice things she says to us, but she says them beautifully. We appreciate your coming down here every year. It's not what she's used to, a two-up-two-down colliery house and the trip across the yard on necessary occasions, so we appreciate it all the more. We hope you'll keep on coming, especially with Penny.
Thank you, Dad.
It's past tea time. I wonder where they are, those three ladies. Once they get to the new supermarket, you've lost them.
taking it pretty hard, isn't he?
Yes, he's taking it hard. What do you expect? Men of his generation, they thought the promised land had come when the mines are nationalized. They never dreamed that pits would be closing within 20 years, especially under a Labour government.
Does it make any difference what government it is?
Not in reality, but there again, the theory was that Labour had something to do with the interests of the working class. Not to mention socialism and similar visions and dreams. It isn't turning out like that. And the people's flag is palest pink. It's not so red as you might think.
Well, I'm sorry for people like your father, obviously, but a government does have to think of the taxpayers, too. I mean, the coal board's losing millions.
Oh, yes, yes, very true. Dad's dear old pit's hopelessly uneconomic. The figure for net tonnage per man shift is appalling. He knows that, Laura. It's just that he has other values.
You can't argue with him, I suppose.
I'm not inclined to argue with him. I have difficulty in justifying the teaching of history on economic grounds.
That's different.
Oh, yes, the demand is there. There's a continuing demand for Foreign Office entrants familiar with the terms of the Treaty of San Stefano, whereas the demand for coal... It's curious to think that Penny will grow up regarding oil-fired central heating as a fact of nature.
She'll also travel in diesel trains, not steam trains, and jet planes, not propeller planes, and wear nylon tights, not cotton stockings.
And watch television instead of reading. One has to strike a balance, as they say.
Penny? Oh, Penny, come here. I don't want you to run down that slope. You might slip, and then you'd fall all the way down to Granddaddy's house, wouldn't you? Look at your hands. They're black. Oh, Danny, look at her. She's absolutely filthy. She'll have to be scrubbed.
I dare say. Coal is filthy stuff.
Coal? Get coal up here.
You didn't realize. This is a coal tip we're standing.
This hill, this entire hill is a coal tip.
They had to dump the surface coal somewhere, didn't they? The coal that wasn't good enough to burn in the dining rooms and drawing rooms of, shall we say, Oakley Square. Not totally useless, it would burn or glow, at least, in the grates of unemployed miners. But no demand for it on the market, uneconomic. So the tubs came trundling up here, dumping and dumping. I can remember watching them when I was a kid. And the hill grew like the great pyramids, only without any treasures inside. They've grassed it over now. Looks quite pretty, doesn't it? Good enough to fool you. Best seen from a distance. If you're unwise enough to come into close contact with it, you find that it's just filthy old coal.
How extraordinary. How absolutely extraordinary.
1968.
Very good. Clever Penny. Now, what's this one?
Cat.
That's it. Cat. what's this one? I'll give you a clue. It goes on the top of your head. Seldom seen nowadays, by no means obligatory, but on the top of your head is where it goes.
Ha!
Clever Penny. This is H, you see? H for hat. H for history. H for H-bomb. The most important letter.
Penny, I want you to tidy up your playroom. It's in an awful mess. Now, don't forget, you've got your friends coming to tea. I don't want to see it like that. Run along now. Good girl.
You might have let me finish, darling. She's making great strides.
Danny, I meant to tell you, I'm not sure that it's a good idea to teach Penny to read before she starts school. I was talking to Mrs. Armstrong about it. You know, she's got two kids at the school. They have different methods these days. This cat sat on the mat stuff is out. It only confuses the children if they start with one method and have to switch to another.
You mean C-A-T no longer spells cat, just as two and two no longer make four? Yes, I'll endeavour to adjust myself.
I'm just telling you what Mrs. Armstrong said. There's no need to force the pace with Penny. We know she's bright.
Yes, I'm proud of her. I know I force the pace with her and baffle her with an adult vocabulary and commit all sorts of errors, but she's standing up to it. Laura, by the way, when are we going to have another child?
Oh, do you want one?
I should have thought you would. Penny was conceived at your request, if you remember.
That was just to get you to marry me.
Indeed.
No, not seriously. J-O-K-E, joke. Well, I don't know. I was keen on it then. I wanted the experience, but
I was thinking in terms of a child rather than an expanding family.
That means you don't want another one.
But to tell you the truth, I'd like to go back to work when Penny starts school.
What boring old work.
You get bored more easily when you're young. It wasn't so bad. I miss it now, the company and all that.
All right, then. We've got Penny. Another child might turn out to be predisposed to illiteracy.
I'm sorry. You're disappointed, aren't you? You'd like a son.
No, I'd rather favour daughters, if anything.
You wanted Penny to be a boy. I know you did. You do want a son.
Oh,
you?
Yes, yes. We must perpetuate the name of Jones, lest it should vanish from the earth from the telephone directory. We must have a male heir to the earldom.
I thought you were going to be content with being a life peer.
No, 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 none of that second-rate stuff for me. Well, I'm going out. I'll be back to tell Penny her story.
Where are you going? It's Saturday.
I'm going to take a look at the Vietnam March. Several of my students will be on it.
What's this? An attack of nostalgia?
I should be an observer, not a participant. Don't worry. I have the impression that there's a strict upper age limit. It's a question of keeping in touch with current trends of enthusiasm.
Oh, 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 we will fight and we will win. Oh, 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 we will fight and we will win. Oh, 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 we will fight.
Well, are we all here? I see that we're not. Has anyone any news of Andy? I hope he didn't come to any harm on Saturday.
Well, he did, Danny. He got beat up by the pig. It was pretty rugged in Grosvenor Square. You may have heard.
Yes, I heard and saw, though admittedly from a safe distance. I'm sorry about Andy. Was he badly hurt?
3 stitches in his head and a broken rib. He's resting up for a while. We're looking after him.
He wasn't arrested?
No, Mr. Jones. We secured his escape. It's not our policy to allow our comrades to be arrested. The days of CND and passive resistance are over.
We will fight and we will win, eh?
That slogan of your taste, Danny?
Well, it's clearly the right slogan for the Vietnamese communists themselves. I prefer to think in terms of bringing the war to an end.
Well, we all want to do that. The problem is the U.S. imperialists are in there and they've no intention of quitting until they're forced to. When did a war ever end without one side or the other coming out on top?
Well, there have been several historical examples of wars ending without a clear-cut victory. The war between India and Pakistan a few years ago, for instance. Has it escaped your notice that peace talks between the Americans and the North Vietnamese are actually going on at this moment?
Yeah, and we know why they set them up, to disarm the growing solidarity movement.
Now, I wonder if the solidarity movement is growing, despite your energetic efforts, so much as the movement for peace. Isn't a significant factor the change in American public opinion? And surely for one American who feels solidarity or even sympathy for the other side, there must be a thousand who've come to regard the war as a blunder.
When you use the word blunder, you identify yourself with the interests of imperialism. We consider the war as a crime.
Both a crime and a blunder. Let's agree on that. All avoidable killing is a crime. However, blunders are followed by retribution more often than crimes. With whom do you identify yourself, may I ask? Presumably with the communists.
Excuse me. The National Liberation Front.
I don't think that Ho Chi Minh, whom you so much admire, would deny that he's a communist. By the way, do we have any clear-cut idea of how Vietnam would be governed if he were to win? Would there be any more concern for the wishes of the population, or shall we say in Czechoslovakia? Has anyone here studied the writings and speeches of Ho Chi Minh? I thought not.
Which side are you on when push comes to shove, Danny?
I'm needling you, Janet, as you doubtless realize. More seriously, I'm encouraging you to think about the implications of your attitudes. That's what a teacher's paid to do.
Yeah, paid by the capitalist state machine. The more confused we are, the better it suits them. We're wise to that. And the straightforward reactionaries wouldn't do an effective job. They rely on liberals.
Would you prefer a teaching staff composed entirely of straightforward reactionaries?
Aye, as a matter of fact, we would.
I see. Well, I'm afraid that you'll have to put up with my irritating habits so long as I'm conducting this seminar. Perhaps now we'd better turn our attention to the official curriculum.
1974.
Danny?
Yes. Hello, darling. I thought you'd be in bed.
No, I waited up for you. Didn't realize you'd be so late.
Oh, I had to go to that party, I told you.
You didn't tell me about any party. You rushed off this morning without a word.
I did tell you. You forgot me.
You did not. Perhaps you meant to. We don't communicate very well these days.
Well, anyway, it was the end-of-term party for my foreign students, the ones who are graduating and going back to Iran and Bangladesh and so forth. Obviously, I've got to be at that party.
Yes, obviously. I just said you might have told me. Danny, the lawyer rang up this afternoon. They've got probate. The legacy will be coming through soon.
Congratulations.
It's a rare trunk, you know. We could move, Danny. We could buy a really nice house.
With your money?
I regard it as our money, naturally.
I don't. I always realized that your father was going to leave you something. Possibly even a fair chunk, but it's your money, it's not mine. I prefer you to keep it in a separate account. But if you want to get a car of your own, or a whole lot of gorgeous new clothes or anything, that's fine. But I've always lived on what I earn, and I hope I can continue to do so.
Oh, you are hopeless. We're married, aren't we? I can't very well live in a different house from you just because I've got a legacy. You know perfectly well you hate living in the suburb. It takes you ages to get to work. We're miles from any of our friends, so why go on like this if it isn't necessary?
I will admit that I was looking forward to moving when I get a chance.
There you are, you see. We're both in favor of moving sooner or later, so why not now? And don't forget, Penny's going to be changing schools this year. We could move to somewhere within reach of a really good school. There's not much of a choice around here, you know.
What do you mean by a good school?
I don't mean a fee-paying school. I'm aware of your prejudices on that subject. I don't mean a pot and vandalism comprehensive either. There are some perfectly adequate schools in the state system with proper academic standards if you're in the right part of London.
Well, what's the right part of London, then?
Well, Hampstead is a very nice place. Or around Primrose Hill, it's a bit closer in. Or perhaps Islington. Islington's coming up a lot these days.
How much could we afford to spend, actually? In round figures, I mean, I don't want to know the details.
We could afford a really attractive house, Georgian or early Victorian, with good rooms for entertaining, practically anywhere in London.
Whom are we going to entertain, may I ask?
The sort of people we'll get to know when you've got a chair, of course.
Well, I don't want to make any hasty decisions, Laura. We'll have another talk about it.
All right. Let's go to bed. It's late.
Well, you go on. I just want to look at this review in the journal. I haven't had a chance during the day. I won't be long.
Danny?
Hmm?
Nothing.
So, what were you going to say?
Just that I remember when we went to bed simultaneously. That is to say, together. In an atmosphere of eager enthusiasm and on a wave of Welsh eloquence. Of course, that was quite a number of years ago.
I'm sorry, darling. It's the end of term, the exams and all that. I got a lot on my mind.
Are you having an affair with one of your promising young students, by the way?
Do you expect me to answer that question?
No, I suppose not. I just wonder.
High cheekbones, green eyes. Those don't change. Durable assets, endlessly fascinating. Don't worry. Laura, my wonder girl, princess of Oakley Square. Don't worry. Come on, let's go to bed.
1976.
Is there anything I can do to help, Morris?
No. You just sit by the fire. Ah. Now, I've made the Christmas dinner for 40 years, and I'm not past it yet. The turkey to the oven, I've mixed the stuffing, I've made the gravy. Everything's under control.
Yes, quiet it is.
Well, of course it's quiet on Christmas morning. Put the wireless on if you like, Dobby Carroll.
No. Leave it be. And thinking of that Christmas we had 4 years ago.
When they all came down.
Aye. Best Christmas we had ever. That's what Christmas should be, the family together.
Oh, they'll ring up, man. They always do. Any minute now.
No, I wouldn't bank on it.
Oh, go on, you old misery. I'm sure they'll ring up.
I hope so. That's why we had the telephone put in. The rental's not worth it otherwise.
Look, we had the telephone put in for the doctor. We're old folks now, remember?
Who's old folks? 61 and 59, that's not old. I'd be down the pit now if there was any pit to go down and doing a man's job. As for the doctor, we don't trouble him much, thank goodness. Barring the rheumatics, we'd never see him the year round.
Well, you never know when you might need him.
Oh, who's an old misery now?
There it is now, as I told you. Shall I answer it, or you?
No. You answer it. You know you'd like to.
Oh, dear. Hello? Oh, thank you, my dear. And a Merry Christmas to you. And a Happy New Year into the bargain. What? Oh, I'm just sitting here waiting for the phone to ring. Yes, we're both keeping well. We were just saying we don't trouble the doctor for months together. What? And how are you? Oh, that's nice. Oh, that is good. Yeah, now come and see us sometime. Maybe in the summer. You're always welcome. I won't keep you. I'm sure you've got lots to do. But thank you for ringing. And Merry Christmas again, tell you? Oh, bless you, Va. Bless you.
Was it Daniel?
No. Not Daniel.
Don't tell me it was Laura.
No, not Laura either. It was Penny.
Penny, was it? Oh, fancy that.
Oh, why shouldn't she use the telephone? She's 12 years old now.
Oh, so she is. Oh, they do grow up fast. You know, I wouldn't know her if I saw her in the street, most likely. I wondered if they told her to ring, or was it her own idea?
Oh, I'm sure it was her own idea. Oh, she's a lovely old kid. Oh, Idris, she said she was out singing carols for Oxfam, and somebody gave £5.
Oh, I expect they won't miss it, that classy neighbourhood. £5 for Oxfam and £50 on the booth for Christmas. Conscience money.
Well, it's better than having no conscience. They're going skiing in the new year. Penny said she was ever so excited. It's her first time.
Did she say how they are, Daniel and Laura?
Well, no, she didn't say exactly. She was full of her own news, bless her. Well, they must be well. Why shouldn't they be?
I wish we could see our old son again. Oh, it's 2 years now. 2.5?
Yes, it seems a long time. But they were in America all year, you mustn't forget that. Mm. And Daniel's got so much to do, another book coming out, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And then it's difficult having to put them up all in the one room now Penny's growing up.
Well, they could stay in a hotel in Cardiff and come out. The money's there, you know.
Oh, if you're in one of your grumbling moods, Idris, really you are. It's not suitable for Christmas. I'm putting the wireless on just to shut you up.
1978.
Penny, would you please clear away all these magazines? I'm sure they must be yours. Otherwise, they'll go straight into the dustbin. People will be arriving at any moment.
Yeah, don't you think they look nice?
Well, that's a suitable time and place for sitting down and reading such literature, but not on social occasions.
Okay.
And have you done your homework, or have you been devoting the afternoon exclusively to absorbing the contents of Tribune and the Leveller?
I've done my French, and my geography doesn't have to be done until Monday.
Well, don't forget it.
Don't nag, Mum. It's getting to be a habit.
When did I put my cigarettes? Oh, there they are.
You ought to give up smoking.
Oh, don't nag, Penny. I tried giving up smoking. It isn't so easy.
I don't intend to start. Besides, you could give up if you wanted to. Daddy gave up.
He had a real problem. He was getting through 2 packets a day. I've cut down quite drastically. Does that satisfy you, miss?
It's an improvement. Who's coming to the party?
Well, it's as it's to celebrate your father's professorship. There'll be mostly from his college. But there'll be some other people we know. Professor Brownell, he's the vice-chancellor of some rather dim university, but he's quite a distinguished historian. And his wife, she writes poetry, not bad either. And an American professor, somebody we got to know at Harvard, he's on a sabbatical.
And his wife? Or don't they get to go on sabbatical?
He hasn't got a wife. But I warn you, they could making eyes at him. He's an out-and-out queer.
Gay.
All right, gay. To my mind, it's a queer form of pleasure. I shouldn't think there's anything very gay about it.
You're appallingly prejudiced.
Yes, I'm prejudiced in favour of normal sex to which you owe your existence. I don't know why I'm talking to you like this. It isn't how my mother talked to me when I was 15, I can tell you.
Oh, nobody here yet. That's good. I've just finished my proof. Penny. What a charming.
Oh, thank you, Dad.
Darling, before I forget, what the hell is Richard Burnell's wife's name?
Amanda.
Amanda, I noticed something fancy. And she writes novels?
No, she writes poetry.
Amanda, and she writes poesia. How refined.
Oh, shut up. Here they are. Oh, Amanda, how lovely to see you. Do come in. It's a beastly night, isn't it?
Yes.
Richard, hello.
Hello, Richard. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
Oh, what a glorious room.
Darling, look at that fireplace. Yeah. If it isn't Adam, it's a good imitation.
Yes, we rather think they put the fireplace here and built the house round it. This is our daughter, Penny.
Oh, hello. Yes.
This young lady? I can't believe it. How old are you, Penny?
15.
Laura, you look quite indecently young to have a teenage daughter. Same as Daniel, for that matter.
We did get married practically as students. Let me see, how old are your children?
Oh, we're another generation. You may congratulate us. You've just become grandparents.
Ooh. I'll have to have a drink on that. Now, what do you have, Amanda?
What is that? Oh, Campari soda, please.
Right. Richard?
Whiskey, please. No water.
Thank you.
Just a bit of ice.
Right.
Yes, it's very pleasant being a grandparent, like being a visiting professor. All the enjoyment with none of the administrative responsibilities. Thank you. We ought to be drinking to Daniel. Here's to Professor Jones.
Yes, here's to Professor Jones.
And richly deserved, if I may say so. That last book must have clinched it. Now, has Penny here inherited your bent for history? Or is she playing with computers? That seems to be the craze nowadays.
I'm taking history for O-levels, but I want to do sociology in the sixth form.
Has sociology spread its tentacles to the sixth form? A delusory subject, born of an illegitimate union of psychology and economics. Don't touch it, Penny. Turn back before it is too late.
We can't influence the Richards. It's no use your trying. Oh, how lovely to see you, Alfie. Come in. It's a beastly night.
I'm sorry I'm so late. The taxi driver's Ford was no such street in Hampstead. He took me to all hell and gore.
Yes, I'm afraid it is rather inconspicuous, our hidden corner. Now, this is Richard Brownell and Amanda Brownell, and this is our daughter Penny, Irving Stirzinger.
Hi.
Stirzinger? From isolationism to grand alliance, am I right?
Why, yes. You must be one of my small band of British readers.
It's compulsory reading where I have any authority. A very illuminating piece of work. I'm delighted to make your acquaintance.
What do you have to drink, Irving?
Oh, I'm anglicized enough to say gin and tonic.
Ah, now, come over here and tell me. Would you say that rules of decision?
We haven't seen you since you came back from India. You seem to have survived the experience.
Oh, we were both laid low with Delhi belly for a few days, but that happens to everybody. It's worth it, we decided. So much to see. The temples, those places like Kanchipuram. Simply breathtaking. And practically no tourists, if you go at the right time.
Danny wants to go, but I'm doubtful. I don't think I could stand the poverty.
It is a shock. But you just have to close your eyes to it. One Indian we met, a very interesting man, explained to us that there's a recognized place in society for beggars. Any beggar might be a holy man taking his chosen path to Ahimsa. Is that what I mean? Yes, I think so. Ahimsa.
And he might be reborn higher up the scale. Isn't that the idea?
Yes. I mean, it makes you think. Here we are, happily writing our books and giving our lectures, and we might be reborn as frogs.
Frogs? I don't think I'd mind being a frog. They must be reasonably happy. A life devoted to jumping.
Anyway, you leave all the poverty behind when you get to Kashmir. I've never seen anywhere so beautiful. Well, once you've seen the Himalayas, the Alps are
simply ruined.
The average American
has a pretty screwed up picture of how things are in Britain.
Our press tends to report that your problems are the result of living under socialism. It's ironical, isn't it, when we have a Labour government desperately trying to pump new life into the sluggish bloodstream of British capitalism.
But the Labour Party is responsible for the misconception. So long as they cling to that Clause 4 nonsense and all the rest of the outdated rhetoric...
Clause 4? Excuse my ignorance. Common ownership of the means of production, distribution and exchange. It's still in the Labour Party programme.
Oh.
It's ignored in practice.
Precisely. The albatross round the neck of any Labour government is the visible failure of the industries modelled on that formula. And I mustn't say too much about that while I'm enjoying Daniel's hospitality.
Ah, I remember you telling us your family background was in a coal mining area. Mm. Did you ever go back there, Daniel?
Oh, not so often as I should.
Well, do you find that the average miner feels that he's benefited from the socialist experiment?
No, I can't say that, but... You know, it wasn't an experiment. It was a moral necessity. My grandfather was killed in the pits under private ownership. My father was 5 years on the dole. That's our history, Irving.
You see? Huh? Historic memories count for more than present-day realities. That's our insuperable problem. Our so-called advanced thinkers are still living in the 1930s. They're obsessed with the evils of unemployment at a time when it's abundantly clear that the evil we have to contend with is inflation.
I believe Britain's doing a bit better on that front than a year or two back. Am I right?
Fingers crossed, my dear fellow. Well. A noble and indeed courageous effort is being made to hold wage increases down to 5%. It's unlikely to succeed, given the limited vision of our trade unions. But absolutely.
Interesting. 5% all round, is that it?
Oh, well, no, Mr. Sturtinger. It doesn't apply to judges, generals and admirals, or vice-chancellors.
Oh. Daniel, do you know, I believe I can discern on the horizon a new wave of student radicalism?
Yes, 1980.
You tired, Grandad?
No, not tired, just panting a little. The breathing apparatus isn't what it used to be. Now, let's sit down here. They put this bench up last year. The old tip started to look like Primrose Hill or something.
Oh, you can see the whole valley. There's a museum, isn't it, where we went yesterday?
Yes. The old Bethesda Chapel it was. Quite a blow to your grandmother when it was put to a new use.
And that's where your old house used to be, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. They're going to build flats there if they ever get the money. Do you remember the old house?
Of course I do. Oh, I think it was a shame they pulled it down. But you like the bungalow, don't you?
Oh, it's handy to run and easy to clean. That's nice for your grandmother. And I'm glad to have a bit of garden. It gives me something to do. Oh, but I don't think I'll ever get used to sleeping on the ground floor. It doesn't seem natural.
Oh, there's the bus coming.
Aye, we've still got the bus service, but I shouldn't wonder if they stop it one of these days. Now it's cars all the time. People drive 20 miles to work. Irvine, Neath, Langefeller, Pontedillis, anywhere. Our valley's become a dormitory area.
Unemployment's getting worse, though, isn't it?
Aye. Shooting up since the Tories got back. Yeah, they must be able to get it up to 3 million and beat the record they set in the 30s. That'd be an achievement, wouldn't it? I never thought I'd see mass unemployment come back again. The nomenclature has improved, though. It isn't a depression, though. Only a recession.
They can call it what they like. It's boom and slump. The same old capitalist cycle. Grandad, you never wrote your history of the valley. You really ought to.
Yes, the time's right. It's about the end of the story. Did you ever read that book, How Green Is My Valley? Mm. Green it was 100 years ago. Then the pits came and turned it black. And now they've grassed over the coal tip, they might as well grass over the whole valley and return it to its original condition. Well, I mustn't be at all misery and spoil a holiday. Penny, my dear girl, we are very happy to have you with us. Like a ray of sunlight it is.
I am glad I came. I'm happy being with you. I feel I can really talk to you, and there aren't many people I feel that about.
Where is it you said your parents have gone?
Italy.
Well, could you have gone with them?
I expect they're glad not to have me. Anyway, Mummy is. Yes, I could have gone, but I didn't want to. They're staying with Professor Brownell. He's got a second home in Tuscany.
Oh, the second home's in Italy too, is there? I thought we had enough in Wales.
Well, Tuscany is the in place now. It's taken over from the Dordogne. Mm. It's crawling with people like Professor Brownell. I hate him. He's a fascist.
Well, not a proper fascist, is he?
Well, he's terribly reactionary. And his wife's awful, too. I can't stand either of them.
I see.
I don't like many of my parents' friends, actually. There's something false about them. Do you know what I mean? They're not real people.
Was it to find real people you came here, Penny?
Yes. I suppose that's it. Yes. Well, sit down, Mummy. Have that chair. It's relatively comfy. At least it's the best we've got. I'd have cleaned round the place if I'd known you were coming. Never mind. You can have a bath when you get home.
Don't apologise, Penny. Very nice for what it is. It reminds me of where I lived when I was your age. With your father, I mean. I haven't forgotten what it's like being young. Where is your boyfriend? Isn't he in?
No. He won't be in till after 11 tonight. He does the washing up at the cafe round the corner.
Tax-free earnings, I take it.
Quite so. And now the welfare state's being wound up, we're all supposed to rely on our own initiative and do the best we can for ourselves. Isn't that right?
I haven't come here to have a political argument, Penny. As a matter of fact, I was rather hoping that Chris... It is Chris, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's his name.
I was rather hoping that Chris would be out so that we could have a frank talk, the two of us. You can imagine I'm very worried about the situation. How many weeks is it?
7 weeks, so far as I can work out.
You didn't plan to get pregnant, presumably?
No. I just met Chris, and it was a sort of passionate impulse.
I must say, I should have expected you to be more responsible.
Were you? Or just lucky?
Your father would have been more considerate than to take chances with a girl, however strong the impulse. When we decided to have a child, it was because we knew we had a permanent relationship. Would you say that that's the case with you and Chris?
I don't know.
No. You couldn't very well know after 7 weeks. But the unfortunate fact is that you're pregnant. May I ask you what you propose to do about it?
I think I'm going to let nature take its course.
Have the child?
Yes.
In view of what you've just told me, I'm bound to say that I think that's extremely unwise.
And irresponsible.
Yes, irresponsible. I don't know what's in your mind, Penny, but then I seldom do.
I just feel it's what I want to do. I didn't think so at first, but it's growing on me.
And what does Chris say about it?
He says it's down to me. So it is, isn't it?
Oh, really, Penny? When I think of all the work I did helping to get the abortion bill passed, and this is the result.
Mummy, I don't want to argue. We never agree about anything much, so we're not likely to agree about this, are we? It's my own decision. I've got to live with the consequences, and I'm prepared for that. So let's leave it at that, okay?
I don't know what makes you think you're capable of taking decisions. All your decisions have had one thing in common. You find out what my advice is, and you do the opposite. First, you drop out of college when you've got every prospect of getting a good degree, possibly a first.
I didn't drop out. I walked out. I wasn't learning what I'd hoped to learn. It was all totally irrelevant.
It wouldn't have been irrelevant to getting a decent job if you'd graduated. And now you're going to have a child, presumably because it's the only occupation you're equipped for. You're simply determined to mess up your life.
Well, it's all this permissiveness that's been the trouble, hasn't it? Never mind, it's all over now. We're back to our moral values and responsible behaviour and good little girls who do what their mums tell them. I bet you voted Tory in the election.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did.
Did you tell Daddy?
Don't remember that we discussed it.
Wouldn't be what he expected when you were his girlfriend in the 60s, would it?
There's a lot I didn't know then, and there's a lot you don't know now. Life isn't a free ride. This country's got to earn its way in the world. And the only way we'll do that is through pulling together and buckling down to hard work instead of going on strike every 5 minutes. And a bit of leadership for a change wouldn't do us any harm either.
You know, I've been wondering for years who you made me think of. And now it's clicked.
1984.
I'm sorry I couldn't meet you at the airport, darling. I was teaching.
Oh, it's all right. You meeting me wouldn't have made it any quicker. The luggage took ages to come up, and then there was one of those ghastly hold-ups on the flyover. Some of rattletrap always seems to break down there. Oh, well, I'm home, I suppose. So, tell me, have you seen Penny?
Yes, I went to see her the day after she came out of hospital. She's fine. It was quite an easy birth. The baby's healthy. She seems to be very happy.
Well, I'll see you soon. We don't have much to say to each other, I realise that, but you can't actually refuse to see me.
No, of course not. She isn't really hostile to you, Laura.
I dare say you'll get on better now. I mean, now she's a woman with a child instead of a girl.
I haven't got used to it yet. I look in the mirror and say to myself, I'm a grandmother. I can't believe it.
Richard and Amanda are getting a lot of pleasure out of being grandparents.
Well, it's all right for them. They're years and years older than us. Besides, their daughter's married. I assume that the young gentleman who so casually impregnated our daughter has vanished without trace.
Penny isn't bitter about that. She feels that he's under no obligation. As a matter of fact, I think she likes being able to feel the kid is all her own.
Is she glad it's a boy?
I didn't ask her that.
I bet you are. You always wanted a son, and now at least you've got a grandson. Besides, the name of Jones is perpetuated. Oh, by the way, what's you calling him?
Idris.
Idris. Like your father. Go on. Well, that's a declaration of loyalty, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know about that. You mustn't feel shut out, Laura. That won't do any good. But she's always been rather fond of my parents. That's true. She's thinking of going down to stay with them when the kid's a bit bigger.
Indeed. In their bungalow?
There's a spare room. It's actually more suitable for a baby than a basement flat in London. I don't know how long she'd be staying, of course.
Isn't it rather dangerous with the strike and everything? The Italian papers were full of pictures of battles between the strikers and the police. Oh, but perhaps that would be an attraction for your daughter. She can always leave the baby with your parents while she hurls a few bricks.
That's all happening in Yorkshire and Nottinghamshire. It's not in South Wales. There aren't any scabs in Wales.
I see. How long do you think the strike's going to last?
I should think until the spring.
What's the point, honestly? They can't beat the government if the government's determined not to be beaten, can they?
No, that's true.
And then there's quite a bit of coal being produced. And there's the oil, so there won't be any power cuts.
No, that's true.
So it's hopeless, isn't it? I don't understand why they don't just pack it in.
Maybe you have to be born in the valleys to understand. Listen, Laura. I never went down a pit in my life. I knew that wouldn't be my road when I started coming top of the class at the boys' high. You know, I'm not sorry I live in a beautiful house in Hampstead and I get good reviews in the Times Literary Supplement. And anyway, there's no pit anymore in my valley. It's been closed and lifeless these 20 years. But the other valleys won't go that way without at least a shout of defiance. The Welsh miners came out solid when they got the call. And when it's all over, they'll go back solid. Defeated and with the last of their savings gone, but solid. And I'm proud of that. Yes, I seem to recall that it was my capacity for rhetoric that first attracted you.
It was. The only thing is, I thought that if we were in love, we were bound to have the same ideas and look at the world in the same way and always be on the same side. That's what I thought. It was silly, wasn't it? Strangely enough, now I know it isn't like that. I love you as much as ever. Silly, isn't it?
'85.
Oh, you're back already.
Yes, Ben Evans gave us a lift in his car. Wouldn't hear of us waiting for the bus. Oh, it was grand, Bonnie.
Oh.
The banners of the lads all marching down the road to the pit head and the singing. Mm. Anybody would have thought we'd won a great victory if they didn't know.
Yes, it was wonderful, Fran. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. It's such a shame you weren't there.
Yes, well, somebody's got to look after his lordship.
Oh, has he been good?
Oh, yes, good as gold. He did wake up once and cried a bit, but that's only natural. He wondered where his mum was. So I changed his nappy. I haven't forgotten how to do it. And gave him one of his rusks and put him down again. And I haven't heard a peep out of him since.
Oh, I'm so relieved. He can be ever such a nuisance sometimes. He just yells and yells when he's in one of his moods.
It's not a good sign for a baby to be too quiet. A bit of noise, you know, it shows character. Anyway, it's what you'd expect from the men in this family. They've always had plenty to say for themselves.
He's a fine young fellow, Penny. Bound to be good-looking, too, like the men in this family.
Oh, he's a Jones, all right. Oh, Penny, Carrie, we were so touched when we heard you were calling him Idris. This is a kind thought.
I'd have called him Morvid if he'd been a girl. I do think Welsh names are beautiful. I want to ask you something.
Ask away, then.
I'm not planning to go back to London to live. The fact is, I've given up my flat. If you'll have me and little Idris, we'd like to stay here indefinitely.
Why, that's wonderful. Isn't it, Bobby?
Oh, Penny, do you really mean it? You're going to live with us? Carrie Edvard, I couldn't wish for better news.
I hope it's not too much of a shock. Well, we'll have to see how it works out. And he might be rather a nuisance when he's mobile. But I could find a flat, couldn't I?
No, you wouldn't hear of it. If you're staying in the valley, you're staying here, where you're at home. It's only common sense.
Yes.
We never did know what to do with another bedroom.
I'm very grateful. Well, I was banking on it, frankly. You see, once I'm settled, I'm going to do some work here.
What sort of work do you expect to find, Pennybach? It's not easy.
It's all arranged. I'm going to do an oral history project. I've got a grant.
What sort of history?
Oral history. People talking about what they remember. Oh, I've brought a tape recorder. You can be the first to talk on it.
It's just ordinary people talking. Is that what they call history, you know?
Well, Grandad hasn't written the history of the valley, so I'm going to do it for him. I mean, what is it, the history of the valley, if it isn't the history of the men and women who gave their lives to it?
Aye, don't you see, Martha? It's history we've been living all these years. It's the meaning of our lives. I'll start any time, Penny.
Start any time. The trouble will be stopped. Oh. There's plenty of time. Oh, it is. She'll have to go and see Mrs. Morgan that used to live in our street. You'll find her in the old people's home, Penny. Mrs. William Morgan. 91 she is, but her mind's as clear as ever. She might not remember where she's put her glasses, but she remembers here, Hardy.
How long will it take you, Penny?
I've got the grant for a year. I don't know what I'll do after that. But I want to stay here if I can. I think it dawned on me when I came and spent the summer holidays with you. You know, when I was 16. And I didn't grasp it until now. This is where I'm at home. This is where I belong. I want Idris to grow up here and learn of the generations that went before him and know why he treads on coal when he goes up the hill. Oh, yeah. I want him to know of all the hardships and how hope was kept alive all the same and... Oh, what is it?
The visions and the dreams.
Yes. The visions and the dreams.
In Generations by Mervyn Jones, Daniel was played by Anthony Hall, Idris by Douglas Blackwell, Morviv by Elizabeth Morgan, Laura by Catherine Hurlbut, and Penny by Elaine Claxton. Richard Brownell was played by Manning Wilson, Amanda Brownell, Avril Clark, Irving Sturtzinger, Tim Reynolds, the chairman of the meeting, Brian Hewlett, and the students by Elaine Claxton, Stuart Organ, and Stephen Rashbrook. The play was directed by Richard Wortley.